Would you turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, the last verse. It reads here that, behold, this is King Solomon writing towards the end of his life. He is writing like this: behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. That means God created us, as we read in Genesis 1, God created us in His own image, just like Himself. In His own image He created male and female. And here it says that He made them upright. That means He made them just like Him. Like, you know, when you look at babies, newly born babies, you see how tender they are, their skin, their nature, how innocent, how beautiful. And their million-dollar smile, there's no guile in it, no hypocrisy. And none of us send our children to school. None of us send our children to school or college to learn bad things, like how to lie, how to cheat, how to deceive, how to lust. No, we don't teach them at all, but they do it naturally. How did it come? It came all as a result of the fall, disobedience to God's commands, and man listened to the devil rather than to the God who was in their midst, meeting them on a daily basis and used to have fellowship with him, with them. And such a relationship that they had with the Father that they lost it. God created them upright, but it says they have sought out many devices. That means they have made ways and means by which they can sin and bring dishonor to the Lord. This has come in our nature after the fall. And this we don't learn, but it is already there in us. So that is why Jesus came to undo the works of the devil, which the devil had done and tied people up in knots. And one translation of that verse in 1 John, it says, for this reason the Son of God is manifested, that he might undo or untie the knots that the devil has tied us up with. See, God made us men of integrity, men of uprightness, but we have made many, sought many devices to dishonor him. When God created man, that's in Genesis chapter 6, you see there are only three chapters differences there. When God created man, and man sinned in chapter 3, and chapter 4, 5, and by the time we come to chapter 6, it says the corruption of mankind. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible reads like this, the first book in the 6th chapter, 5th verse, then the Lord saw there is a gap of about 1600 years after creation. In 1600 years, you see the condition of man here. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You read that slowly, it says God had created man upright, as we read earlier, and then when God looks at mankind 1600 years later, he sees that wickedness was rampant, it was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart of man was only evil, not once in a while, not occasionally, but it says continually. This was the place man came to. And we see God speaking about the human heart. Right from Genesis, you go through the Bible till in the book of Revelation, God speaks about the human heart, the condition of the human heart and what caused it and what is the remedy for it and what is the future of it. And God has made a way for us if only we listen to God's word with open heart and open mind and open ears. You read here in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, it's a well-known verse, most of us know this. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. It says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately wicked." Most of us know this verse. And God speaks again of the heart. He says the heart of man is deceitful, more deceitful than all else, and is desperately wicked. See, there is no verse in the Bible where it says about something which is desperately wicked except for the heart, human heart. And this is the verse. The human heart is desperately wicked or sick, who can understand it? And verse 10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." God says, "I know." You see, when Cain killed his brother Abel, the Lord asked him, "Where is Abel?" And Cain was so, he had that audacity to talk back to God and say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He could talk to God like that. And you know what happened, the rest of the story. He was sent out and he became a vagabond, a wanderer, the rest of his life. He went away from the presence of the Lord. And because of that, he was cursed. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord didn't curse them. He cursed the serpent and he cursed the ground. But when Cain sinned, the Lord cursed him. And he had to live with that curse all his life. And the Lord knew what was in his heart. And he says, "The blood of your brother Abel is crying out to me from the ground." And the Lord knows every thought and intent of our heart. And he knows that it is desperately wicked. You see, the word of God is preached always. And in the aisle, in the pew, people sitting, there can be two types of people. The word of God comes and speaks. We can see that in Acts chapter 19. There are two types of people always when the word of God is being preached. Acts chapter 19, verse 9. Here it is the Apostle Paul himself, one of the greatest speakers, anointed man of God in that century, at that time. He is preaching in Ephesus now. And he is speaking to some people there. And verse 8, it says, he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way. I want you to notice something here. Paul is speaking, and the word of God is being proclaimed, and there are two types of people. One set of people, they are trying to catch him in his words. These are those hardcore Orthodox Jews, and they are trying to catch him in something. And it says, as they were listening, they were becoming hardened in heart and disobedient, speaking evil of the way. You know, when Jesus began his ministry and the apostles began their ministry in the first century, their teaching was called a sect. It is written here as the way, which is a sect, which was a sect at that time. And even now today, if something new from the scripture, somebody gets a revelation from God and gets light on it, and he proclaims like Christ came in the flesh and he lived like us as human being, and he had all the pulls of the flesh that we have, but he didn't sin. He lived and he overcame, and we can overcome. That's why he said, follow me, not imitate me. And we proclaim that. And anybody proclaiming the real truths of scripture are always considered by the Orthodox or traditional churches, or they are always looked upon as sects or cults. But here, the preaching that the Apostle Paul was preaching, his preaching was known as the way cult or the way sect. And there is one group of people becoming hardened and disobedient, and then they spoke evil of the way before the multitude, and they withdrew, or rather Paul withdrew from them, and then whoever wanted to follow Paul, they came aside. It is something like this, you know. The sunlight is bright, and it can do two things. When the sunlight is bright, it can harden a clay. And when it is bright, it can melt butter. It's same thing happened here. One set of people got hardened and they left and went away. Another set of people, their hearts melted and they came in repentance and they became followers of Jesus. This is what happens in every preaching. There will be some who get hardened and go away offended. There will be some who will be broken down before the Lord, before his word and his power, and they surrender their life to the Lord. You know, there is a word in medical science called atherosclerosis, that is hardening of the arteries, and it doesn't happen overnight, and even the hardening of the heart, human heart, also doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. It takes time from childhood, the lifestyle that people live, and the food they eat, and lack of exercise, and things like that, you know, that can build up fat in the blood vessels. And a day may come, it becomes narrower and narrower, and the blood flows very slowly, and other parts of the human body gets affected because of that. And a day may come when there may be a clot or a blockage, and then there will be a heart attack and people die. And that happens when they have not gone to the doctor before that. I have come across a few cases where I have checked after the heart attack was experienced and the person died. I asked one of my friend's brothers, did he have cholesterol or did he ever go to the doctor and get himself checked? He said no. This is what happens finally. If the Bible says, if we examine ourselves, then there is no need, even God will not examine us. If we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged on the judgment day. The Lord will say, pass by, next he will call. That is scripture. You read that in 1 Corinthians 11. If we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. And here is a hardened heart. And hardened heart comes how? This also doesn't come just like that, suddenly. This is a gradual process, like how it happens in our human body. The fat gets accumulated and accumulated and accumulated, and unless we take some treatment for that to dissolve that fat and we consult doctors and take their advice, if we humble ourselves before the Lord and ask the Lord to take away our stony heart and give us a heart of flesh like he promised, and if we come to the Lord in humility and brokenness, you think the Lord will say, no, I can't help you? There is hope for every human being as long as there is breath in his nostril. Don't think it is too late. I have done too many sins, and I am beyond redemption, or I cannot be forgiven. None of us can say that. God gives time to each one of us until his last breath. As long as we have breath in our nostrils, the Bible says, do not harden your heart. So long as it is called today. What is today? Today is the only day that we live. We don't live in yesterday because it's already gone, it is history. We don't know about tomorrow, it is a mystery. Today is the only day that everybody lives. Somebody said, there are 2 days we do not live. That's yesterday and tomorrow. And every day is a gift from the Lord, and every day is a present. That's why it is called present. Today is a present from the Lord. And if you hear his voice today, the Bible says, do not harden your hearts like those Israelites hardened in the wilderness for 40 days. And what happened to those people? 600,000 soldiers, apart from their wives, children, parents, they must have been at least 2 million plus. These 600,000 soldiers, all of them the Lord vowed, he swore, saying that because they have disbelieved me in spite of 10 miracles that I did for them and delivered them, they hardened their hearts, disbelieved God and in his power. And the Lord says finally, none of these fellows will enter into the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. Imagine the proportion there. 2 is to 600,000. Out of 600,000 plus, it is 6,300 something. Out of that, only 2 people were able to enter the promised land. And even today it is true. The Lord said, the way is narrow, the gate is straight, it's a narrow way, not many will make it. Broad is the way of destruction, people will go on the broad way like how they drive on the highway, zooming, people are zooming towards destruction, but God has made a way. And we know that verse in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. It says, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God." What's the meaning of evil, unbelieving heart? In spite of seeing God's greatness and goodness and almighty power and miracles and wonders, which none of us have experienced, they came out with such strong hand of the Lord over them, hand of protection. The Lord split open the Red Sea and made the seabed as dry land, and they walked on it, and behind them were drowned their enemies, Egyptians, and their army, chariots, everything. And then God provided for them so many things. He gave them food from heaven for 40 days, gave water from the rock for 40 days. Their dresses, their clothes didn't wear out, their footwear didn't wear out. God kept them from sickness, and so many things the Lord did. And in spite of that, it says, don't be like them. Don't harden your heart by having an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But, verse 13, it says, encourage one another. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today. Again, that word comes. Day after day. That means if tomorrow comes, that will be again today. Tomorrow will not be tomorrow. Today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday, and it has come today. It has come, that tomorrow has come, and that has become today. And tomorrow also will come tomorrow, and that will be today, when you live tomorrow. So today is the day, the Lord says here, as long as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. You know, it always deceives people. It deceives in such a way that you will not know that you are being deceived. You think you're all right. You know, just like that Ananias and Sapphira, they thought, no, who will find out what is in our heart? We can go and just pretend like everybody is giving 100%. We will also go and give and lay it at the apostles' feet. Who will know what we have given, how much we have kept back for ourselves? But Peter was a man who had discernment. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He could see through Ananias. And he told Ananias, "Ananias, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit?" You read there in Acts 5, Ananias never opened his mouth. How can a person tell a lie without opening his mouth? There it is. Why did you tell a lie to the Holy Spirit? Ananias never, he could have said, "No, I didn't even open my mouth." But when he asked, "Is that all that he saved you, sold your property for?" He said, "Yes." Then the lie came out. And after a while, his wife comes. She also pretends like that, and she also falls dead. And both of them are buried in a span of 3 hours. Both of them. When Ananias died, they didn't even inform his wife that this fellow died. They went and buried him without her knowledge. And after having waited for 3 hours, she comes back to see what happened to my husband. And Peter says, "See, the feet of those who buried your husband just now are still entering. They're just coming in, and they will carry you too." See, it is not a small thing to play the fool with God. If you're honest, be honest. If you're dishonest, say, "I'm dishonest." Don't pretend to be somebody when you're not. That is what God requires in the church. He looks for truth in the inward being, it says in Psalm 51. God looks at our heart and He looks for truth in our inward being. That means inside out we should be truthful. Through and through we should be truthful. Not one facade before people and another life at home, another life in the office or on the road. God wants us to be yourself 24/7. That is God's will, dear brothers and sisters. And the same book, it says in chapter 10:22, Hebrews chapter 10:22. It says, let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith. With sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It speaks of repentance. When we repent, you know, by the operation of the Holy Spirit and by the word of God, our hearts are quickened and we come under conviction. And we mourn over our failures, our sins, and we repent and confess them to the Lord. You remember when Jesus and John the Baptist started their ministry, the first word both of them uttered word to word is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was it necessary for both of them to preach repentance? Because repentance is a missing jewel now in the church. You hardly hear about repentance being preached. Because the more you preach about repentance, the less people you will have in your church. And there will be less revenue. Jesus was not interested in that. John the Baptist was not interested in that. They spoke to people. They called by proper name. He called them, you sons of vipers, you generation of vipers, means you children of snakes. There is something snaky about you. You are not transparent. You are one thing before men and another thing before God. God is not happy about you. He rebuked them, saying, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And the Pharisees got offended. And John did baptize them. You read that in Luke 7. They got offended and they didn't get baptized. And if we harden our hearts, even the Lord will leave us alone. And Lord will leave us to go our way. He will not. You see, we read that in Mark chapter 6. Even when Jesus was alive, so many times Jesus spoke about various things to his disciples, about his suffering, about his death and burial and resurrection, so on and so forth. But you see so many times the hardness of their heart and unbelief in the heart of the disciples, especially the 12 disciples. He had many, other 70 and plus thousands of others who used to throng around him. But Jesus spoke to the inner core of 12 and he told them about his sufferings and what all he was going to go through on the cross, all that. But they didn't seem to grasp it. I don't know why. If somebody tells us something, we are all clever people sitting here. We all know that what so-and-so said, maybe we can quote it verbatim, word by word. But many a time Jesus had to rebuke his disciples for their unbelief and hardness of heart. You read that in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Here Jesus comes to his own hometown, Nazareth. And he goes to the synagogue and he preaches and on the Sabbath day. And you know, there's a word in English called familiarity breeds contempt. And because Jesus grew up there in Nazareth, they knew him as carpenter's son or son of Mary, like illegitimate child. We don't know who his father is. He grew up with that stigma. And they didn't care much about what he was speaking. And it says here, anyway, I'm not going to read all that. Jesus himself said, after he spoke, some of them took offense at him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own household. And he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And in verse it says, he wondered at their unbelief. Jesus was surprised that these people have so much of unbelief in them that because of that his hands were tied, he could not do many miracles there. And Jesus left that place and went away from there to minister elsewhere. Then again in the same book in chapter 16, we read in verse 14, After the resurrection also, you read in other Gospels, when Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and other women went to the tomb and saw and heard the angels speak to them, testifying that he is not here, he is risen as he had told. And they come back and report to the 12 apostles and 11 apostles. And the apostles, it seems like nonsense to them. You read that, I don't have time to show all that. They didn't believe. And somehow Peter and John managed to go and see, and yes, they found it was empty. But they didn't know whether it was really resurrection or something. But here Jesus comes and appears to them when they are there in verse 14 of 16 of Mark's Gospel. It says, and afterwards he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Again, these two words you see there. Even after the resurrection, Jesus had to rebuke them, reproach them, reprimand them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Even those, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, spoke to him. She comes and tells, and they didn't believe. Even when another time in John's Gospel, we see when Thomas was not there, only 10 of them were there, Jesus came and appeared to them. Thomas said, no, I'm not going to believe. When these 10 people are saying, we saw the Lord, he says, no, I will not believe unless I see him, unless I touch him, unless I put my finger into his nail-pierced hand and side, I will not believe. Yeah, Jesus went even down to that level to reveal himself to Thomas. And dear brothers and sisters, do not harden your heart. The Bible says, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. What is his word today? His word today is the same as it was 2000 years ago. Repent. Brothers and sisters, some of you are sitting here thinking that you are a Christian when you are not. Just because you are born in a Christian family, you think you are Christian. It is not true. Don't deceive yourselves. I thought I was a Christian because I was born in a Christian family. But when somebody asked me whether I was born again and I was, what will happen to you if you die tonight? Where will your soul go? I had no answer. Then the next day he asked me to come and he gave me the gospel. He explained to me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. Before God, there is nobody born Christian. Nobody is righteous. Nobody is born a saint. Okay? Everybody is born sinner. That is what the Bible says, and I go with the Bible. Let God be true and all men liars. I go with God. If God says all have sinned, I include myself there. And that includes John the Baptist and Mary, the mother of Jesus also. Because Mary said, my soul rejoices in God my Savior. Who needs a Savior? A sinner needs a Savior. Mary needed a Savior. Mary was not sinless like the Catholics projected to be. Immaculate. And you know, there is one very strong verse that Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Most of us know that. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. It says, watch over your heart. This is King Solomon telling the young people. Young people, listen to this. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. From your heart flow springs of life, or rather from your thoughts. Like another translation says, be careful about what you think. Your thoughts will determine your destiny. That is the meaning of that. The out of it flow springs of life means what you put in is what you get. Give in and give out. What we, most of you computer science people know that, GIGO. What you put in first is what you get. When you program it, it will come that way. So when you program your heart that way from childhood, you grow up in a different set of circumstances, neighborhood and environment, then you become the type of person that it has made you to be, society has made you to be. And watch over it, it says. If you don't watch over it, it's a very sad thing. It can be a hopeless case. You remember the story when the Israelites Moses came to Egypt and met Pharaoh, the king, and asked him 10 times to release the Israelites that they may go out. He said no. You read that in Exodus chapters 7 to 14, these 8 chapters. You read that there, that whenever some calamity God brought, and then Pharaoh realized that it was because of my disobedience God sent this. And after that was lifted, after he asked Moses and Aaron to pray and remove this, they prayed and removed it. And after everything was fine, he keeps on hardening his heart. And the more he hardened his heart, it's a very interesting thing. At the same time, it is a very sorry thing to know. You know what happened? 10 times God brought plagues on them. On 6 occasions, Pharaoh, it says, he hardened his heart. And when the Lord saw that he's bent upon hardening his heart, and there was no repentance found, then it looks like as though God decided to help him. Then God himself started hardening his heart the next 4 times. You read that. I'm not telling you a story. Go home and read chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 8 chapters in the book of Acts. 6 times he hardened his heart. 4 times it says God started hardening his heart. And when God starts hardening your heart, brother, Sister, you better wake up. It may be too late. You may be in the 11th, not even 11th hour, maybe 11.59 or something. You look at this verse. Many times Brother Zach has said, this is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. That is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. I'll close with this. No, this is the Apostle Paul speaking about the last days and about the man of lawlessness. And he is telling here in verse 10, he says, and with all the deception of wickedness, for those who perish, this man of lawlessness will come and he will be deceiving the world at the time. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. They didn't believe what God had told in His word. Rather, they believed in some fake miracles that He is going to do in the last days. Signs and wonders. See, are you taken up with signs and wonders and fake miracles? Many are, even today. See, if there are two meetings, one is healing meeting, another is holiness meeting, where do you think will be more attendance? You know the answer. You have been to such meetings, and what have you received? You heard of somebody getting healed here and there, but you yourself, you went for healing, you never got healed. Why is that? These are fake miracles. I believe there are genuine miracles. God can heal even today. But most of these, what is being advertised on the Christian TV, these are all fake. That's what the Bible says here. They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, their soul to be saved, but rather they wanted their body to be healed. And how long you live with your healed body? Has anybody lived for more than 150 years? Even after healing? Did Lazarus live more than 150 years? Even after Jesus raised him from the dead, and even that young man, the widow's son, or even some of those people whom Paul and Peter raised from the dead. It says, because they don't believe in the truth of the word of God, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they might not believe, that they might believe what is false. You read there, it's a scary verse. If you don't love the truth, it says God Himself will allow you to be deceived. Like He allowed Pharaoh to harden his heart. Okay, you want to go ahead, go ahead. I will not come your way. You reap what you sow. This is exactly what will happen to us if we harden our hearts today and then do not repent and say, okay, some other day, I'm still young, I have to enjoy my life. You've seen so many young people die during COVID. Did they ever realize that they will not be here today? They thought they had so many plans for their life. Do not harden your heart, brother and sister. Hardness comes slowly, without notice, gradually, little by little, day by day. You just ignore the warnings and you just brush aside the thought that comes to your mind. Repent, today is the day. Now is the time of salvation. It's okay, I'll do some other time. And you stop coming to the meetings, or you come late to the meetings. Do you go late to the office or to school? Children, parents, do you send late to school your children? But when it comes to Sunday school, oh, Sunday school, they can go late. Oh, meeting, I'll go when the message starts. Who are you? Are you a contributor or a consumer? If your attitude is like this, God will also have the same attitude towards you. He will treat you the way you treat him. Whatever you did to these, my brothers, you did it unto me, Jesus said. If you harden your heart, God himself cannot break it. You see, God's word says, my word is like a hammer which can shatter the rocks. God's word. If that can't shatter your hardened heart, then nothing else will. Do not harden your heart if you hear God's word today. Repent, those of you who think you are okay, everything is all right with you. You may even be baptized. We are going to baptize today. Some of them were baptized earlier. After they came to CFC, many in the past 48 years of CFC's existence, many who have come and heard the gospel here in CFC have told, I had not properly repented. I had taken baptism without knowing what repentance was, what rebirth was. I want to take it again. And some of them are taking today. So I wish, hope and pray that you will wake up today. Do not harden your heart. Humble yourself before the Lord. Cry out to him for grace and mercy, that he may be kind to you and forgive your sins and cleanse your past and make you a new creation. If any man is Christ Jesus, is a new creation. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. May you be a new creation from today onwards. Amen.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we must come to the Lord with faith that he is the great heart surgeon. He is able to give us a new heart. We can turn to Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. It says, I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. I'll take that hard, stony heart out and give them a heart of flesh. And it's good for us to just read this word in its context. I'm reading from verses 17 onwards. The Lord says, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you. So let's just think of us as a church. God has gathered us together. He's assembled us here. And verse 18 says, when they come there, they will remove all the detestable things and abominations from it. And as a church, I believe we are here because we can see that there's no false teaching. There's no corruption, as far as I'm aware of. This excellent church, excellent teaching, good examples, no fleshly indulgence, no honor seeking. And that's why we've come here, we've come together. And then the Lord says, my desire is that I'll give you one heart, one spirit, one desire that the Lord's name should be glorified. And I'll take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's the promise that the Lord has for us. But the next verse gives us a warning. Yeah, it says, so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. That's verse 20. Then they will be my people and I shall be their God. That's God's desire for us. That we will be his people. He will be our God. That's why he's gathered us together. And he wants to give us a new heart. But verse 21 says, but as for those whose hearts go after their detestable things and abominations, I will bring their conduct down on their heads. So it's possible that we can gather here and we've removed the detestable things, we've removed the abominations from our midst. But the Lord is saying there are some among us whose hearts are still going after those abominations and detestable things. The Lord is going to make a difference. Even as we heard in the church in Acts, there were people who were disciples and were eagerly listening to the word of God and trying to obey it. And then there were others whose hearts were taken up with other things. And they had hardened their hearts. Yeah, it's good for us to examine ourselves. The verse that we heard just now, Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you. That's a call for me to examine myself. Is there in me an evil, unbelieving heart? I know what my nature is. I know that from the word of God, that the heart of man is sinful, deceitful above all things. But even now, today, in me, there can be found an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. And says, therefore, encourage one another today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And I was encouraged to look at Psalm chapter 95. It's an Old Testament. It's a quote. You can see that in the NASB. Most versions will show you that, you know, it's written in a certain kind of font that tells you it's a quotation from the Old Testament. So if you go there, Psalm 95. What we sang today, he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Same verse, Psalm 95 verse 7. Today, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So there's two verses. One is today, if you hear his voice. The other says, if you would hear his voice, if you want to hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. It's possible that we can harden our hearts. And I was looking at the margin on that verse. And it says, or, oh that you would obey my voice. Today, oh that you would obey my voice. And I see something of the heart of God there. Oh that you would obey my voice. Yeah, that word that says, you know, take care. Take care that there be not found in you a heart, an evil heart of unbelief. That same verse that says, take care, you know, I was thinking, it makes all the difference how we listen. And I wanted to examine that parable that we've all heard many times. It's there in three Gospels, the parable of the sower. Because over there Jesus says, take care how you listen. See, if we come here and we don't listen, we don't hear the words of God, then we can't be changed. We can't be transformed. And just be sitting there and doing something. And it's just a religious activity. And I'm here, I've done it before, I do it again. Nothing happens. The word of God doesn't pierce my heart. It doesn't change me. The Lord said, take care how you listen. It says, those who receive the word with a good and honest heart. That's the good soil. And hold it fast with perseverance and bring forth fruit. That's how the Lord wants us to be. And in Mark chapter 4 verse 13 it says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all of the other parables? Brothers, if we don't listen, if we harden our hearts, then we can't understand anything. What's the point of coming? Why are you here? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Why are you here? You know, because I came here because my brother was here, right? My brother was coming to church. That's how we start. Peter also came, you know, because his brother came. Your parents might be here, your relatives might be here, your friends might be here. That's why you come to church. But why am I still here? Why am I staying here? I'm staying here because I want to hear the words of the living God. I want to hear the words of the living God that can change my life, that can transform me, that can shatter this hard heart of mine. That's the hope that I have. Yeah, in Matthew 13, same parable. You know, Jesus says, why do I speak in parables? He says, and he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, you will keep on hearing, you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, you will not perceive. For the heart of these people has become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. But he says to the disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And I once again, you know, I was looking at where it says this in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. We can turn there and look at it. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. This is after Isaiah had a vision of the holiness of the Lord, and he said, I am ruined. This was the prophet that God had chosen in that day. He said, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. And then the Lord said, go and say this, verse 9, to the people. Tell the people, keep on listening, do not perceive. Keep on looking, do not understand. Render the hearts of these people insensitive. Insensitive, you look at it in the margin, it says, covered with fat. My heart can be covered with fat. And the ears heavy. Yeah, I've come here. Many years, I was born in the church. Every Sunday I come, something like this only, they'll say again. Repent, again they'll say. Same thing. May God save us. Help us to take it seriously, examine our lives. Yeah, some of us have come from, you know, other churches and we have baggage. We've heard everything we hear like, but this person says like that, that person says like this. The voice of the Lord is saying, oh, that you would just obey my words. Today, don't harden your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Just take my words and obey them. Take them seriously. Take them to heart. The Lord is able to do this. But we have to respond with a soft heart. Yeah, I was thinking of Jeremiah, the word, Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13 verse 15. Listen and give heed. Do not be haughty. Do not be proud, arrogant, haughty. For the Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken, so listen and give heed. Give glory to God before He brings darkness and before your feet stumble on the dusky mountains. While you were hoping for light, He makes it into deep darkness. This can happen to us. We can fool ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. We think everything's fine. Everything's okay. It says, give glory to God and pay heed, for the Lord has spoken. And then Jeremiah says, but if you will not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret for such pride, and my eyes will bitterly weep and lock and flow down with tears. So this is the way I was reading this for myself. Is there a godly man? Somebody you know is a godly man or woman, who you are aware that he is not happy with the way things are spiritually in your life. If that is so, if that's true, if there's a godly man, I know he's a godly man and he doesn't approve of my spiritual life, or if he knew about my spiritual life, if he knew about the way things were, would he approve of it? These are two questions we can ask ourselves. Is there sorrow in his heart? And if there is sorrow in his heart, how much more there is sorrow in the heart of God? And am I going to like do nothing about it? Go on listening, go on hearing. I want to take it seriously. I want to do something about it. Maybe I don't understand, then you come and ask. Come and talk about it. Yeah, it says, you know, in Hebrews, that verse that we were reading, take care that none of you is found an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. It says, encourage one another day after day as long as it is called today. That means today, what do I need to do? Encourage one another. I need to speak up to somebody else and encourage them. Because if I don't do that, I may be deceiving myself. It says, so that none of you will be hardened. So let's just look at this word, you. Take care, you take care, that none of you fall away. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another. Who's he talking to? He's talking to me. See, I can come to a meeting and say, okay, now somebody must encourage me. I'm listening. But I'm not really listening. My heart is covered with fat. I'm finding fault. I'm saying, oh, boring, same thing. You encourage. You speak. I'm the one in danger here. I'm the one who needs to speak. Yeah, the Bible says, I believe, therefore I spoke. Having the same spirit of faith, you also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised up Christ Jesus will raise up also me also with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 13 and 14. I believed, therefore I spoke. Whatever I believe, I must speak, I must confess. Because if I don't do that, I might be fooling myself. And this, you know, heart of unbelief has caused me to go silent. Yeah, the mouth speaks, the heart believes unto righteousness, and the mouth speaks unto salvation. That's what it says. So let's take seriously, let's do something today, while it is called today, when the Lord is speaking to me. I don't want to harden my heart. I want to say it's my responsibility, Lord, to encourage the brothers and sisters daily. I want to do that. And if there's something stopping me, I want to deal with it. And you are able to change my heart. You're able to change my heart of stone and give me a soft heart. You're able to do this. Yeah, we don't want to have a religion of empty words. We sing these songs, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. God is able to do this in me. He's able to change me. He's able to make me someone who pays heed to His voice and walks accordingly. Yeah, may the Lord help us.